Right now, Wisconsin roads are in worse shape now than they were a few years ago, and state lawmakers and the governor have yet to agree on a long-term solution. As Sean Johnson reports, it's gotten so bad in some Wisconsin towns that they're turning paved roads into gravel.
There's a road in the western Wisconsin town of Northfield that used to be completely covered in pavement. But in the last few years, a lot has changed.
This is as far as we got when we fixed that intersection down there.
Richard Erickson has been Northfield's town chair for about 34 years. 2 years ago, his town of about 600 in Jackson County repaired the intersection where this road starts. Northfield ordered new blacktop and told the road builders to keep paving until they ran out of material.
So this line that we're looking at right here, where it turns from pavement to gravel,
this is where we ran out of money 2 years ago, yeah.
They only had enough money to pave 0.2 miles, but that still left a lot of old road that was badly damaged. So instead of just leaving the potholes, Northfield ground up the pavement and covered it in gravel. Erickson says his town has turned 12 miles of pavement back to gravel since 2010.
You're not forced directly to go to it, but I mean, you end up doing it. We have to try and keep the road somewhat smooth so people can drive on them. And when the funds are short, it's just the best thing we could do.
Erickson and other town chairs like him say Wisconsin state government has put them in a bind. State funding for local governments in the form of municipal aid has been cut over the last decade. Local transportation funding has remained roughly flat. And the state has limited how much towns can raise from local property taxes. Those limits grew stricter under Governor Scott Walker. Meanwhile, the cost of building roads has, over the long term, gone up. Steve Dickinson chairs the town of Garfield in Jackson County. His town was paving new roads in the 90s. Not anymore.
We were so optimistic in the early 90s, and we had, I tell you, it was just fun to be here because folks would come in here and they were just smiles and they were like, yeah, my road will be next. And, you know, we had this plan and it just, like I said, it ended.
Dickinson says he recently had to turn a mile of his town's paved roads back to gravel too. The town has since repaved it with a grant, not from the state of Wisconsin, but from the Ho-Chunk Nation. Governor Walker's budget proposal would increase local road aid by 8.5%. The Wisconsin Towns Association says that translates to an increase of about $10,000 for the average town, enough for maintenance, but not much else. And while gravel roads are cheaper to build, Towns Association Director Mike Colas says they're more expensive to maintain.
So you have a choice. Do we take it from what we have now that is a safety hazard and turn it into gravel, which is not a safety hazard, or do we borrow money to try to fix it the right way?
That's the situation in Northfield, Wisconsin, where over the past 6 years they turned 12 miles of paved roads into gravel. This year, Town Chair Richard Erickson is hoping to reverse that trend. He wants to turn about a mile of gravel road back into pavement, but it will come with a trade-off.
And we have to borrow money. We just, to pave a mile of road, you know, it's going to cost $60,000 to $80,000. And our budget is just over $100,000. You know, if you pave 1 mile of road, well, you've spent just about your whole year's budget.
It's a small town problem, and at least for now, it's still relatively rare in Wisconsin. But nearly 62,000 miles of Wisconsin roads are maintained by towns, which means local road issues have big implications. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
This story is part of a 5-part series Wisconsin Public Radio is airing this week, looking at transportation challenges. You can hear the rest of the series at WPR.org/roads.
Now, National Grammar Day is coming up this Saturday, so we thought it was a good time to get a little refresher on some of the most common grammatical mistakes and how to avoid them.
Writing and grammar expert Kathleen Watson splits her time, but not her infinitives, between Wisconsin and Arizona. She's the author of Grammar for People Who Hate Rules, Killer Tips from the Ruthless Editor. You can also get answers to more grammar questions from her weekly blog posts at ruthlesseditor.com. Kathleen, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's delightful to be with you. Thanks for inviting me.
Before we get into some specific advice, Kathleen, make the case. Why does grammar still matter to us?
It matters because we are judged on the way we write and speak. And people are doing more writing now than they ever have. We have texts and emails. Emails is the primary business communication mode. We're posting on Facebook. We're posting on LinkedIn. So it's a very public venue, and when people see errors in writing, we're judged by those. So So it pays to pay attention to grammar, even today.
Let's get to some of the more common mistakes that we can make in this arena. One of them is when to use me and when to use I in a sentence. This is one of those that I think a lot of people still get confused about, even though you were probably taught it in grade school and maybe it just didn't sink in.
I agree, and I have a theory on it. I think we can blame our moms. When kids are young, they'll often say, "Hey, Mom, me and Billy are going for a bike ride." Or, "Hey, Mom, can me and Sarah have a lemonade stand?" And Mother corrects us, having us put the other person's name in front of our own. And so I think we get so accustomed to thinking me is the wrong thing that we avoid it entirely. But if you look at just a quick example of a quick sentence, my boss is taking Jim and I to lunch. To most people, that would sound correct. But to be sure, eliminate one person from it. Eliminate Jim. Would you say, my boss is taking I to lunch? Of course not. You would say, my boss is taking me to lunch. So when you put Jim back in the equation, the correct way is, my boss is taking Jim and me to lunch.
And in either case, would we say myself?
Yes. I see that a lot in business. Either contact Jim or myself if you have questions. Here again, if you delete one or the other from the equation, please contact Jim if you have questions. Please contact myself if you have questions. Of course you wouldn't say myself. You would say me. So again, me is the proper word rather than the reflective version, which is myself.
Some of these are tricky when they happen in real time. If you're writing, you can probably take a moment to go, okay, Rob and me instead of Rob and I. But if you're speaking, you know, it's hard to perform those mental acrobatics on the fly.
I agree. And that's why if you can find an example that's easy to recall, something that sticks in your memory, which is what my book is based on, examples rather than rules. Nobody can remember complicated grammar rules, nor do they have any interest in it. But if you can try to remember an example, that can help you when you're speaking and don't have the time to double-check as you do when you're writing.
Veronica and I are talking to Kathleen Watson, author of Grammar for People Who Hate Rules. Kathleen is talking to Veronica and me. I think I got all that right. Yes.
You did, indeed.
Now, here's another one that comes up a lot, and when I'm writing for radio, too, I have to catch myself on this one. When to use that and when to use who?
The easiest guide is that who is for people, living people. That is for animals. In fact, there's an even further guideline, animals without a name. Again, I like to pull out examples. So if you're saying the person who joined our book club fits in well, or the person that joined our book club fits in well, who is the person? Who is the animate part? So you would use you. Who? If you're saying the kitten that got caught in the rain seemed lost, the kitten doesn't have a name, so it's for unnamed things. The kitten who got caught in the rain seemed lost. The kitten is a that. If you say Jezebel, the kitten that got lost in the rain, now it has a name. So you say Jezebel, the kitten who got caught in the rain, now is a part of our family.
That's a fun rule. I knew about the using who for people, but I didn't know that
named
pets or animals were an exception.
That's a fine distinction.
Yeah. And that's one, I think you even quoted then President Barack Obama, getting this one wrong.
Yes, both he and John McCain, I remember hearing. Yeah, his was, I think, the president that's got your back, when it should have been the president who has your back.
One of the biggest challenges, this is an easy one for speaking out loud, but in print, apostrophes, when to use them, this seems like a really common stumbling block for people.
It is, and probably because there are so many different scenarios where we use apostrophes that it's hard to remember which one to use when. And one of the most common is just the very often used word it's. And I think it's a problem because it's as a possessive, we learn a rule, a guideline, that when you want to make something possessive, you add apostrophe S. You would say, Sam's bike is in the garage, S-A-M apostrophe S. But when you're using it's, such as in the case where, when we were talking about the kitten, the kitten lost its collar. No, I'm sorry. That's the wrong example. Let's say the kitten licked its paw. You wouldn't have an apostrophe S there. That's the possessive form. So it violates the rule, and that's what we have a hard time with. We always want to make possessive with an apostrophe. The apostrophe is reserved for the contraction it is.
But then this gets pretty a fine point on it when you talk about things that are a descriptive, for instance. I think I'm trying the teacher's... I remember the example you had, and the teacher's bank or something like that. What do you do then?
Yes. That, again, it involves the possessive, but when is a word possessive and when is it descriptive? If you say the teacher's lounge, for example, the lounge doesn't really belong to the teachers. It's someplace for them as a plurality to gather. So there would not be an apostrophe with teachers, the teacher's lounge. If you were to say the Mac users group, the group doesn't belong to them. It's something that's formulated to serve their purposes. So then users would not have an apostrophe. It would be considered descriptive instead of possessive.
I got to say, that's the one that probably baffles me the most. I'm sure you could go to WPR.org and find examples of me, Rob Ferret, getting that one wrong. Is that the case? Kathleen, does everybody have their own problem that just our foil in grammar that we're always going to keep messing up?
I suspect that's the case, and I think we've talked about a couple of them today. I think me is one that's always going to be a challenge, and I think it's is always going to be a challenge. One thing about it's, if you have it in a sentence, always substitute it is and apply it to that, and you'll know right away. You wouldn't say the kitten licks it is paw. Mm-hmm. So that's one guideline that's easily applied in your head or on paper.
Kathleen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
That's writing and grammar expert Kathleen Watson. She's the author of the book Grammar for People Who Hate Rules, Killer Tips from the Ruthless Editor. You can get answers to more grammar questions from her weekly blog posts at ruthlesseditor.com.
Coming up after the news, we talk with a scientist who says more members of her field need to be visible in their communities and help increase the public's understanding of their work. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.